Good afternoon. From the KTOO newsroom in Juneau, I'm Yvonne Quemery. Preschoolers, parents, and advocates delivered Valentine's Day cards to Alaska state legislators on Monday. As KTOO's Katie Anastas reports, they asked lawmakers to have a heart for kids as they make budget decisions for this session.
Nikki Love pulls a red wagon full of Valentine's Day cards through the front doors of the Capitol building. She is the Community Engagement Coordinator for the Association for the Education of Young Children.
We have an over 20-year tradition of bringing Valentines to our state lawmakers. We make personal visits to as many as we can in their offices and then greet them on their way into the committee room and ask them to please remember and prioritize children when they're making policy.
Love says prioritizing kids feels especially urgent this year, as school districts across the state call for more education funding and childcare workers in Juneau push for higher wages.
We have to make it these jobs worthwhile to people because it is critical that they're highly educated since they're caring for our next generation.
The cards featured photos of the kids at school with construction paper hearts and handwritten signatures. The group walked into legislators' offices to drop them off.
Thank you so much.
For 5.5-year-old Avon McHenry, the cards were also a chance to practice cursive.
I love cursive. It's pretty fun because I get to write in different shapes of the letters.
Her mom, Sadie McHenry, hadn't been to the Capitol since high school. She says even if these kids are too young to understand the importance of school funding, visiting the Capitol is valuable.
I think it's really important that kids understand how the government works from an early age so that way they can better use their voices.
Governor Mike Dunleavy wasn't available, but they dropped the biggest card in the wagon off at his office. It included a collage of photos of the students and was signed by each one of them. Inside was a request to increase the state's per-student funding, also known as the base student allocation, by at least $1,000. Fairbanks Senator Scott Kawasaki says the kids made a strong impression.
Just seeing their bright eyes at 10 in the morning is a real treat. We're going to be talking about early education, funding K-12, all the way up to the university, and it's a big deal that they're here today.
The group stopped by Sitka Senator Bert Stedman's office on their way to the House floor.
Thanks for coming by. We got to go to the floor.
The kids handed out the rest of their cards as representatives walked in, insisting that Soldotna Representative Justin Ruffridge take an extra.
Well, I don't want to keep all your nice Valentines.
Parents and teachers hope the visit puts a face to the policy decisions lawmakers are considering this year.
There are 50 states in the United States of America.
In Juneau, I'm Katie Anastas.
The Sitka Tribe of Alaska is concerned that a proposed extension of the Seawalk will destroy one of the few remaining cultural sites on the town's waterfront. The tribe and Sitka Assembly conferred on this and other matters during their semi-annual government-to-government meeting on Monday. KCAW's Robert Woolsey reports.
The Sitka Seawalk currently runs from Sitka National Historical Park to the Sitka Public Library. It's a waterfront enhancement funded largely through the local share of the head tax on cruise passengers levied by the state. A proposed extension of the Seawalk would create a new path around the outside of the O'Connell Bridge, essentially the last sliver of undeveloped waterfront in downtown Sitka. State planners noted that rock fill for the proposed route would impact a bed of eelgrass in the area, considered essential fish habitat for herring. And there was also something else, as Jeff Feldpouch, the tribe's natural resources director, explained.
They did find a man-made rock wall that extends off that point just from the base of the bridge, kind of back towards the street or the road. I think the state had gone back through and did some additional testing. We were concerned that that rock wall was probably part of a clam garden.
A clam garden is created by terracing a beach in an intertidal area with walls made from large stones. It's a form of mariculture used by the indigenous peoples of the Pacific Northwest for millennia. Tribal Council member Fred Olson Jr. noted the irony in that some places in Southeast were trying to enhance their waterfronts with recreations of nature or history, like the whale sculpture in Juneau. But Sitka had the real thing and was putting it at risk.
Instead of inventing something for tourists to look at, you have actual history
to look at and just don't pave over it, you know.
Sitka's waterfront has been substantially modified and filled in over the years. Early in the last century, waves used to lap at the base of Castle Hill and at the back of the stores along Lincoln Street. Now, most of the area from Crescent Harbor to Eliason Harbor has been filled in for streets and public buildings like Harrigan Centennial Hall and the library. While the Seawalk doesn't seem like a very big project relative to the overall development of Sitka's waterfront, some tribal council members nevertheless felt very protective about what little of the natural environment remains. Council member Martha Moses suggested that the construction of the Seawalk has already come with a cultural cost.
When the Seawalk was being developed at the Totem Park, and there was that little hill right there that had the huckleberries and the blueberries, and when you had your elder go with you, you had a little trail that you could take your elder and they can go pick their own bucket, but that's already blasted through and there's a walkway through there, and that berry bush is gone. So if you make these developments, they're gone forever and our tradition is gone forever.
Moses' view was echoed by fellow council member Rachel Moreno, who said she worked in summer on cruise ships and interacted with passengers who were really interested to take in Sitka's history without creating harm.
They want to know that they're not having a negative impact where they visit. And if we just are so worried about creating a place for them to walk without taking into consideration these historic sites and things that we grew up seeing, and gosh, we don't see them anymore. All us kids used to go up Blueberry Hill to pick berries, and that was a safe place to go. You know, we didn't have to worry about bears or anything. And so that, because of development, is gone. That's a childhood memory. And I would hate to see one of the last parts of the downtown Sitka that's natural right now be destroyed.
Scoping meetings were held in Sitka last fall on the Seawalk extension, and a public comment period was open through the end of the year. The state expects to have a 75% plan ready for public review by this coming spring or summer, as well as another public comment period. Mayor Steven Eisenbeiss told tribal council members that he'd be adding their concerns to those he's already heard.
Just being honest, I've heard a lot of negative on this Seawalk. So I think it is time for us to take a hard look at that project and determine if it is right for Sitka.
The Sitka Tribal Council and Sitka Municipal Assembly meet twice a year for a meal and to cover a joint agenda of issues important to each body. Other major topics covered at their February meeting included collaboration on an affordable housing summit this year, including homelessness, building redundancy into the community's broadband infrastructure, and coordinating the strategic plans of the tribe and the city. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
A 54-year-old crew member aboard the Oscar Dyson was rescued by the U.S. Coast Guard near Chignik Bay yesterday morning. The Oscar Dyson is a research vessel used by the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. According to a press release from the Coast Guard, watchstanders received a medical evac request around 8 a.m. for a crew member experiencing a medical emergency. The Coast Guard dispatched a regular rescue hospital from Kodiak, rescue hospital helicopter from Kodiak, and was on the scene just after 11 a.m. The patient was then brought to Sand Point, where emergency medical services personnel were waiting. The Coast Guard did not provide an update on the crew member's condition. And as for the weather, it's currently 34 degrees and raining. After a bout of heavy snow, lighter, rainier weather is expected across the region. Snow piled up earlier this week with 4 to 10 inches in Juneau and up to 17 inches in parts of Haines. But now that winter weather is letting up, according to the National Weather Service, weaker, drier, and faster fronts will take over ahead of the weekend, along with warming temperatures. There will be a mix of rain and snowfall in the coming days, with the potential for icy conditions on roads and sidewalks. But snow accumulation will still be relatively light. The current urban avalanche advisory for Juneau says the hazard is considerable, with the potential for natural avalanches. You're listening to KTOO. For more stories, go to ktoo.org.